This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again this morning, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. You know, I mentioned to you recently, we have several of our late pastor, L.R. Shelton. He was the old original Trailblazer, and we have several of his messages on CD now that we brought with us when we left New Orleans. Not all of them, but we brought some, we found. And they're available. You call me, I'll make you a price on some of them. But I was just thinking, you know, in some of his messages, I was here when he was on the radio with the Old Trailblazer broadcast, and he would say, you know, Dan, speaking to Old Dan, he said, you know, Dan, I was just thinking, riding along here this morning, cool and clear, I was just thinking, Dan. And, you know, this morning, as I was here making these tapes, I was just a-thinking. What you thinking, Trailblazer? I was thinking about that verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And that thought got a hold of my heart early this morning. Getting out early in the morning, I like to do that. Raised on a farm, we had to be out in the field just about crack of daylight after having gotten up, and Mama made a big old pan of hot biscuits and syrup and bacon in that old wood stove what we had there in the country. But we'd be out there in that field real early. And that's what I've been doing all of my life. I had a business that I owned, and my brother and I together for 40 years. I opened up and closed up every morning, every evening. And I like that morning time. I like now to get up on Saturday morning sometime when I'm not too busy and just go out on the back porch and sit and watch the birds. I got some bluebird houses and martin boxes, and I hadn't got no martins yet, but I'm hoping they come. But I was just a-thinking, Dan, no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that gracious to think? Listen, Dan, no condemnation. The Lord told that lady, that woman taken in adultery, he said, where are thine accusers? She said, no man accuses me, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, my friend, I'm there with that lady, with that fallen lady. No one accuses me. Nobody can accuse me. I often tell folks, my detractors sometimes, I have folks who criticize me. I tell them, you know what? My salvation does not rise nor fall with you, my friend. No, no, no. If the Lord is satisfied with me, why can't you be? I do that. I do it sarcastically sometimes. Because, you know, in our old age, old Trailblazers, way up there in years now, you know, we just should or supposed to mellow a little bit, aren't we? Aren't we supposed to mellow? What do you mean, Trailblazer? Aren't we supposed to look over other people's faults? Give them credit for not knowing what they're doing sometimes. Oh, I know, we get out on the highway here on the interstate by my house, and if you happen to pull out in front of somebody, they sit down on the horn and squawk and run up on your back bumper and give you a cussing. Let's don't do that. I have a great host of listeners. Let's don't do that, my friend. Oh, let's don't do that. Let's be kind. Let's turn the other cheek, my friend. Oh, I know sometimes it takes a lot of grace, but let's do that. But let's get back to our study. We're looking there at the coming of our Lord. We were describing when and where it might be, not when, but where it might be. The Lord declares he'll come as the King of glory to sit upon the throne as Lord of Lord and King of King. One of the statements we make here in our message is that every sinner who ever gets saved comes to call Christ Lord before he ever gets saved. We don't have none of this Jesus stuff. Won't be no Jesus stuff in heaven, my friend. Oh, I'm going to go see Jesus. No, no, that's not his name, my friend. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to learn it before you ever get saved. The thief on the cross said, Lord, Lord, save me. Old Peter said, Lord, help. Listen, he tells those there of multiplied wars, famines, pestilence, shattering earthquakes, false prophets, deceitful workers, and then distress of nations. those things are going to take place before he comes. Aren't they happening now? Do you ever just look to see? The scripture says when all these things begin to take place, they're taking place now, my friend. The only reason I call your attention to that is that if you're not saved, your time's running out, my friend. That's right. The Lord's been gracious to you a long time. I know folks way up in the years are still not saved. Still waiting for something. I don't know what, my friend. But listen, he says, watch, I'll come as lightning that shines from the east to the west, and with all my holy angels. Two will be in the bed, and one shall be taken, and the other left. We saw that yesterday. Two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Oh, my friend, I can see that. My brother and I used to plow side by side in the field, and I thought about that. Well, I wasn't religious in my young days. I'd heard that verse, though, and I often wondered. Oh, listen. Then that night of all nights, as he sat with his disciples at the Last Supper, ate the feast of the Passover with them, instituting the Lord's Supper, he noticed that they were troubled. Don't you see, my friend? The Lord knows. The scripture says our thoughts are not his thoughts, but he knows our thoughts. He knows the purpose. He knows the intent. He knows if you're honest about your soul. He knows if you're hiding something. Oh, my friend, I often think about that verse where Ananias and his wife lied to the Lord, lied to the Holy Spirit about their money. And I understand from some of the great commentators of this life that they felt that Sapphira and Ananias were saved individuals. But they held back a portion of that. The Lord knew it. The Lord knew it, my friend. Are you robbing God? The scriptures in Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me with tithe and offering. But listen, folks. You holding back God's money, a few dollars, just a few dollars a year, maybe $1,000 a year, $10,000 a year, and you're going to go to hell over that? My friend, the scripture says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Maybe you giving a cigarette or smoking marijuana, or maybe you watching ungodly pornography, or those kind of things. You giving that for your soul, my friend? Are you? Are you trading that for your soul? I wouldn't do that, my friend. Oh, but listen, let's go back. They seem to want to talk with the Lord about their troubled hearts. I like that. I like it when folks come to sit down and talk with me, the old trailblazer, once in a while, young couple, talking about getting married, or maybe one of them's husband or one of them's wife is not being true and all. They come speak to me, and we pray with them and pray for them. I do that. Oh, my friend, but listen, they didn't understand what was taking place, but they knew they were facing an hour that they had never faced before. Everything was uncertain to them. Everything was climaxing to a tragical hour. Then, listen, he turned to them and said, with all the tenderness and pathos of his heart, all that love went out to those whom he was soon to leave. Now listen, one of the most gracious, probably most read verses in the Bible, especially preachers use them at funerals, and I have. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What could be more tender than that? For our Lord, the blessed Son of God, the Lord God of heaven, the creator of all that's created. Oh, my friend, come here, born of a virgin, born to that woman, lived a life of 33 years here on this earth, and here he is, about to go back to his Father. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. In my house are many mansions. He's speaking about heaven there, my friend. We don't know what heaven's going to be. We don't have one clue. The Lord never left us one clue. And I've read after commentators, different ones, all where I can get my hands on them. And the only thing I can come up with of any factuality is that heaven will be a place where there'll be activity. I don't believe there'll be any laziness there. I don't believe it'll be any food stamps there. I don't believe it'll be any welfare there. I don't believe those things. I believe everybody will have a job to do, and that's all in the Lord's hand, and I'm surely speculating. But, my friend, can't you imagine that it will be a place of activity? Oh, my friend, let's see. Let's go back, he said. Believe also in me. Then it seemed that he raised his eyes upon them, no doubt, towards heaven, and kept going. Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, my friend, you who have children, don't you have a love for them that you want to comfort them? I've had to comfort many of families in the death of their father and death of their mother and those things. And it's difficult. It's not easy, my friend. It's not easy. No. But, my friend, the Lord said, if I go away, I will come again. And in my Father's house, where I'm going, there's plenty of places to live. Oh, but listen. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That is, where I am, there you may be also. The old trailblazer, Pastor Shelton, used to tell us that meant he'd come back and kidnap us out of this Satan's territory. You know, when the Lord comes, when he comes for us, Satan is going to be here in control like he is now. And the Lord's going to kidnap us, going to snatch us. Isn't that going to be great? Just to snatch us out of Satan's territory. Oh, but my friend, what a joyful day that's going to be. And we're going to keep on going day by day the rest of this week on this particular subject. I will come again. And I want you to think with me. Maybe you just spend the rest of this week thinking about that particular verse. He says, I will come again. Now, don't foo-foo that. Oh, my friend, that's reality. I'm bringing you reality. The Lord knows exactly what we need, and he has ordained that by the foolishness of preaching, men shall be saved. Would you do one thing for the old trailblazer the rest of this week? Would you just ask the Lord to open your heart, to take something home to your heart, and then at the end of this week, call me or email me? My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. You ought to can remember that. And just email me a line or two. Say, Trailblazer, I've been hearing you, and I'm looking for my Lord. I'm looking for him. I'm ready. I'm sitting on my back porch ready, waiting for him. Oh, my friend, I love you. I love my people. I have a great host of folks whom I have talked to on the phone, over the mail, over the letters and the email. And many have been here to our services, and I love my people. The Lord's given me a love for people, those even that despise me. I love them. I tell them they can kill me, but they can't eat me. Oh, my friend, would you pray for me? Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye, and God bless you. If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.